Medusa's, your kiss Medusa's touch. Turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry for doom, and a dagger's thrust with your hair?
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Douglas Whitener, and you're listening to revisionmedia.org. This is our roundtable discussion for March the 26th of 2020. Everyone probably in the midst of all of this virus plandemic and everything going on. I normally don't host the roundtable, but Mr. Richard Carey has had some issues with Facebook and with his software earlier today. Wasn't able to get one of his hosts on his normal show from England. And I know that I spoke with a few people and sent the number around for anybody that would like to call in and participate in our discussion. That number, if you don't know it, don't see it right away, is 855-492-6049. If anyone would like to call in and participate and discuss this, please feel free. We've been under this threat now for several months. I don't know. To me, it struck me as just a terrifying thing all the way back to January, basically because of some video that a guy, it was really an audio that he recorded before he was killed last year. And I don't know if this guy is legitimate. His name was David Goldberg. And he warned about this coming, that there was a pandemic that was going to be coming and that there was a bioweapon that would be released. And that there was this plan to use that weapon along with EMPs to take out the enemies, you know, of the deep state or of the Zionists, that he warned everybody to get out of the United States. And this was sometime last year that he put this recording out, and then he was killed. And so I came across that recording and don't know this man. I don't know how legitimate he is, but putting that together along with this disease coming out of China and spreading everywhere, it terrified me. I knew something bad was coming. And a lot of people dismissed me, said, you know, in 2 weeks, nobody's going to be talking about this coronavirus. You're nuts. You know, there's always a scare. And it does look like they're pumping the fear as much as possible, you know, to push their agenda. That I agree with. But I knew it was coming. I just knew that this was going to reach the whole world, that we were all going to be affected by it. And so I tried to get myself ready to stay at home be able to stay home for 30 days if I had to. I started doing that back in February, and slowly, a little at a time, it got worse and worse. And it looks to me that it was planned to get worse and worse. They downplayed the thing in the media when it first came around, saying everybody's worried about the coronavirus, but more people die of the flu. The media said that for weeks at a time. That was their talking point. They drilled it into everybody's head. And then now they just completely flipped the script and said, everybody's going to die. You know, the media, you can't trust the corporate media to do anything, to tell you the truth about anything. If you're out there listening and you have any kind of on-the-ground intelligence, we'd love to hear from you. I would like to know, you know, what it's like in your neck of the woods. Have you seen a lot of crowds at the urgent care or the hospital? I saw a couple of videos that were posted, one in New York City from a few days ago. A fellow, I forgot his name, Jason something, who has a channel called Crowdsource the Truth. And he went downtown to a Presbyterian hospital I think it's the same one that they pulled Epstein out of. He said something about that. Dead Ep, he called him. He referenced that in his video, that it was the same interest. And he went to talk to people, he talked to EMTs, and he talked to people around the hospital. They came and ran him off, but there were 9 ambulances sitting there. And when he asked people, he said that they didn't have any patients in there. Yet Cuomo's coming out and saying that they're overwhelmed, you know, that they have got to have 30,000 ventilators now, and playing tit for tat with Trump about that. It's just, it's surreal what's happening. And I don't know, he's tried to back off of his quarantine order today, saying that that maybe wasn't the best advice he got, that maybe that wasn't the best way to go with this. I am bewildered by all this. If anybody else has any intelligence, you know, any point of view they'd like to share about it, please call in and talk to us about it. You know, I used to have a show here on Revision Media of my own. I would come on during this time period. At first, it went under my own name, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and then changed the name to In Plain Sight, because myself, I've been hiding in plain sight from all of these people since I blew the whistle on Aquatech in 1990, which is a story which I've told. And then In Plain Sight, because we talk about things here that are just anybody can look up and learn. You know, the facts are out there. Everybody's so distracted by their Netflix or their corporate media that they don't take time to learn the truth. But if you do try to discern and learn the truth, then it is in plain sight. So this is happening. And also a video that I saw a gentleman post from Hawaii. They had been on the media, on the local media there, saying that there were huge lines of people waiting to get tested and that they were overwhelmed. They couldn't handle all of the onslaught. And he went down to this urgent care place that they were reporting from, and there was no one there, not a single soul there even. And he went into the urgent care and asked them, where are all these people? And there was nobody. The person, the urgent care CEO or president, the person that ran the place, came out and attacked him for posting the video. So something's not right. I don't know what it is, you know, but something's not right. It seems to me that it's an excuse to push this agenda that they've been pushing through with the Fed being able to buy corporate debt and the Fed having unlimited money printing capabilities. I think they're trying to create Weimar America myself. That really looks like what the goal is. And there's a gentleman in Costa Rica who I'm friends with on the Facebook, Kurt Richard Haskell, who he's a lawyer, and he was on the airplane with the underwear bomber back, I think it was 2010 or 2011, that they used this false flag attack with this Somali kid who had basically fireworks in his underwear on the airplane, and they used that excuse to put in all of the TSA pat downs and the invasive body scanners. And he woke up to, you know, what was going on in the world, the agendas that were being played when he witnessed that incident. And his opinion is basically that this whole thing is fake and that it's being used just to push the agenda. I don't know, being myself, being highly at risk for catching this virus, I've got a compromised respiratory system, because when I blew the whistle on Aquatech back in 1990, they opened a canister, a cylinder of hydrogen chloride gas that I went out to inventory a whole bunch of them and burned myself in my sinuses and my lungs. And I mean, I was just 29 years. Well, no, I just turned, I think I was still 29. Yeah, I was still 29 when this happened, but I had the pneumonia for 6 to 8 weeks. Back then. And so ever since, I've had difficulty. I give out of breath and keep sinus infections and get bronchitis a lot. So, you know, it scares me that this thing is out there. I don't want to catch it. I live with my mom, who's going to be 97 in May, and I definitely don't want to bring it home to her. So I've been really, really afraid of it the past couple of months, and knowing that it was coming closer and closer. But I don't think they're telling us the truth about it. I really don't. A lot of people I know have had respiratory issues late last year that were just really severe, that something like they'd never had before, and would go on for weeks and be coughing and just couldn't get rid of it. And I would not be surprised if this thing has not been here for quite some time, and that they're just now starting to test for it and use the fear and the media to push their agenda to get all these bills through, to get all of this invasive power, to get people ready to submit to martial law, to get us used to seeing military on the street, to just do what they tell us. You know, they say, stay home, don't leave your house. And if you do, this drone, some places they already have the drones that are going to watch and see if you come out and scream at you to go back in your house. That's been happening all around the world, and it's already in California. I believe that that's the agenda. They want people to have to stay home unless they have permission to leave. They want to divide us into essential workers and useless eaters. That's the agenda that the elite have had for 100 years, and it just looks like they're pushing it more and more. Whether this thing is as dangerous as they say, it just doesn't seem like it's possible. You know, even today I just noticed that the scientist who made the prediction for the UK, where he said they're going to be 500,000 deaths from this, he said today that, okay, I was a little overboard that by 480,000 deaths. He says, I think maybe there'll be 20,000. After everybody's locked down in the UK and you can't go out of your house, and the police have all of this, all these powers that they didn't before, and the looting starts. And now he says, I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong by 480,000 deaths. Just how do we trust these people? I don't know. It's just more of the same global warming crap, you know, the way that they considered carbon dioxide to be a pollutant. When the more carbon dioxide we have now, the plants are getting greener. You know, I mean, it's good to grow things when you have carbon dioxide. It's not a pollutant. It's a trace gas. And it's just ridiculous, the amount of ignorance in people. And the same crowd that ran around the globe jet setting from here to there to all their little global warming conferences. You know, they go eat in 5-star hotels and they have this little conference. That same people, they all seem to be coming down with coronavirus now. Greta Thunberg's got coronavirus. She says, after isolating for 2 weeks, that she's got the coronavirus. All these celebrities are getting it. I mean, it's almost like it's a new virtue signaling thing. Okay. If there's anybody out there who'd like to call in and participate, let me give the number again. It's 855-492-6049. I have some things here that I could read as well that go over just how ludicrous the things that they are trying to say about this are. Just, I don't know, it's been a topic that's been on my mind. It's dominated the news, and it's had me terrified for four days. I didn't sleep back a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know. I don't know if my fears are just been pumped up by the media or if they're justified, because things are not as bad as they made them out to be, especially where in regard to the military being out on the roads. You know, they gave the impression that the military was everywhere in all 50 states and ready to take over, that they were 2 weeks ago, not just past Sunday, but the one before, they had been discussing in the White House, it was reported, to ban interstate travel, to ground all domestic air flights and put checks at the border of every state. And, you know, that was terrifying, but they don't have the logistics committed to do that yet. And they didn't at the time. I don't know why they were saying that, why they were even discussing it. Someone talks Trump out of it. I'm glad that they had him back off of that. That's going to do more harm than this virus ever could. If you destroy our economy, people will starve. I mean, the Great Depression, during the Great Depression, 7 million people starved. And that just, it, it shows the true colors of these Democrats to Cuomo and Newsom in California. They're licking their chops. They just are power mad. They're drunk with the power they get from this thing. And you could see it in the news conferences they held. They were just giddy. They were so happy, you know, that they could tell us what to do and come right down on, you know, put their boot on your neck. I don't know. It's just trying times. I can tell you about Governor Cuomo's prison-made hand sanitizer project. See, when the hand sanitizer started to get short, he announced, well, we'll just get prisoners to make it. So he has long been a man in the thrall to the Democrat Party machine, famous for signing the country's most permissive pro-abortion law. First was what could best be described as the great ventilator fight of 2020, in which the august figure of the governor of New York decided to pick a slap fight with the White House over who was responsible for the shortage of ventilators in the state. On Wednesday came another revelation which dinged the governor's reputation as a solver of coronavirus-related problems. His project to get prisoners to make hand sanitizer seems to have been an absolute sham. According to an article in Vice, the sanitizer is nothing more than a mystery product made by a third party and being put into bottles with the NYS Clean branding on them. The product was supposed to fight price gouging and be distributed to government agencies, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, and various nonprofits, according to WNBC. We are problem solvers, state of New York, Empire State, progressive capital of the nation, Cuomo said at a news conference earlier this month. There is price gouging on hand sanitizer and a high demand for hand sanitizer, Cuomo added. What do you do? Make your own hand sanitizer. Can you do that? It was quite the unveiling, with Cuomo snapping his fingers to open a curtain behind which hand sanitizer in NYS Clean branded jugs was concealed. He even gave the product a sniff and said, I detect lilac, hydrangea, and tulips, he said. Cuomo added that the sanitizer, since it contained 75% alcohol and had a very nice floral bouquet, was a superior product. Purell, a competitor to New York State Clean, has 70%. There's just one problem. According to workers at Great Meadow Correctional Facility in Comstock, New York, where the hand sanitizer is being made, in quotes, as well as a spokesperson for the prison system, they're doing nothing more than taking existing hand sanitizer and rebottling it into packaging labeled NYS Clean, Vice's Katie Way reported on Wednesday. The report stated that the hand sanitizer itself is being produced by an outside vendor he would not name. The Great Meadow facility is only bottling and labeling it. Neither the New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision nor the governor's office would respond to repeated questions about why the state would need to use prison labor to bottle hand sanitizer, nor did the governor's office respond to questions about Cuomo's pitch that this was a cheaper, more effective option than buying bottled hand sanitizer outright, she reported. A worker on the filling line who said he was being paid a whopping $2 an hour, other jobs in the Department of Corrections system earned far less than that, something which Way was outraged about, but over which I feel no guilt, said he and other prison labor on the NYS Clean line were completely overworked. They treat us like S, he said. However, if this is a product of New York State's progressivism, it's interesting because the only reason the product is cheap is because the labor is so inexpensive. A 1998 article from the New York Times cited Corecraft employees making 32 cents an hour to work at call centers or 37 cents an hour to push thousands of pounds of dough around bakeries. Wages do not seem to have meaningfully shifted since, according to data from the Prison Policy Initiative and inmates' own accounts, Way reported. Not exactly a matter of progressive pride, nor is it something that Cuomo will be bragging about anytime soon. Why would anyone even do this? It's one of the more pointless political feints of recent years, one which made me cringe even considering the questions that surround it. At what point did Cuomo not think he'd be found out? At what point did he think this wouldn't get negative media attention? Furthermore, at what point did he not think that liberals wouldn't care about this? Cuomo is clearly a man who wants to use this crisis as a jumping off point to something. It's clear Joe Biden's going to be the Democratic nominee for president this year, so it won't be that. However, You don't lie about the state manufacturing its own hand sanitizer if you're not grooming yourself for something bigger. At a time when a pandemic threatens to cut a Malthusian scythe through our society, Cuomo appears to have misled the public about state-produced COVID-19 supplies. Absolutely pathetic. And yeah, that makes it clear that Cuomo and these little dictators of New York and California are taking full advantage of this situation in any way they can. And it wouldn't shock me if Biden wasn't able to, you know, wasn't able to run, and Cuomo wanted to jump in there somehow. If somebody on the line would like to make one of them.
Hey, Steve, it's John.
Oh, hi, John. Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. You said what Mark Levine said about an hour ago. Were you listening to him, or he was saying?
No, I haven't.
He's
had him on tonight.
On the radio show. He's on his own radio show, and he said, I'm going to go out on he had Newt Greenwich on there. Newt Greenwich said, actually, it was Sean Hannity's show. That's what it was. He said the same thing, that I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they're not going to let this idiot Biden run, and they're stuck, but they're going to dump him in favor of Cuomo somehow.
Yeah, it seems like that might be what they're working toward.
Well, they
yes,
have no
I think it might be.
Joke. I mean, if he had to handle a pandemic, the man would, you know, be playing a pinball machine, you know, listening to Tommy or something, you know.
I feel sorry for him, John. I feel sorry for the man. I mean, just they make a spectacle of him. He just. There's no way that he could manage to debate Trump. I don't see that happening.
I have an 80-year-old doctor friend. He told me today that Biden has classic signs of Alzheimer's, and when it goes, mm-hmm. it could be called partial dementia. It could be called Alzheimer's, or it could be called another name for senility.
Well, what do you think about this whole coronavirus thing? Do you think it's being overblown? Do you think they're pushing it? Well, you and I talked about this yesterday, how that it's there's just no way to contain it, that any person with a grudge against the world could spread it, you know? It's just...
Yeah. I would imagine the terrorists, they've been saying, oh, my gosh, what kind of leverage can we get to cause some harm? And what's mm-hmm. the most lethal? And, you know, there's... I don't know what happened to the Middle East suicide bombers. They kind of, but I'm sure that the resurgence of them, trainees or whoever is diligent on terror, we haven't had much terror from the Middle East lately.
I did see that DHS or some such agency put out a warning that they expect terrorists to take advantage of the situation, which means that they are probably putting some of their people in the pipeline. I don't know. And I don't have a readout here of the conference call. Did I hear someone else join us? I thought I might've heard someone else call in. If you're there, just let us know. I don't see the telephone numbers from where I'm calling in. So if you're on, please.
Israel's getting a state app with, I guess, the surveillance would be their version of the NSC, our National Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, I guess, you know, the highfalutin multi-billionaires, you know, have an app that shows you the location of carriers of this disease. And
every not just the carriers, but of everybody. That is Israeli app. I was reading about that earlier today. It is one that tracks you in real time, shows your location, and they plan on using that for surveillance. China had a similar app. I saw a fella in China earlier this year who was showing the app, and it showed where people were that were positive. And it also has everybody's social credit score on it. You know, it's real-time surveillance. That's what this whole 5G rollout is about. While everything is shut down, while the schools are closed, they're putting that in.
Yeah. that case that John Durham is investigating the investigators is about what the hell was it? He called in Warren. No, John Warren. He's a
Durham, you mean? Now that I did see that Durham was putting off his report. He was supposed to be doing some special investigation, but I don't know. Nothing ever comes of that. All these indictments they're supposed to have, and I just don't buy that, man. It's hopium, you know. It just seems like there's no substance to it. Now I know. I heard someone join us. Then hello, caller, are you there? Oh, maybe I lost John instead of someone calling in. Well, yeah, listen, people, if you're listening and would like to participate, the phone number is 855-492-6049. I've been talking about the coronavirus and the Democratic response to it and the push. Okay, did someone just join us?
Yeah, it is. I was going down the mountain and cut off.
Oh, okay. We lost you and you came back. There we go.
Well, okay. I'm saying is between 2012 and 2016, Mike Rogers was an appointee of Obama. And Trump came into office and he didn't fire him or nothing. And the transition was going on. And he marched over there and said, he just uncovered 40,000 FISA abuses, targeting Republicans for the purpose of releasing it to the press to have negative, dirt.
Isn't Mike Rogers an admiral?
Yes.
Is that Admiral Mike Rogers? Yes, okay, I have heard this.
And he found that the Trump Towers that he's in is being wiretapped. Told him this. And so he moved out to, I think it's called Bedrock. He moved from the Trump Towers to Bedrock.
Okay.
Bedrock, I think. He's got a resort somewhere near New York. Anyway,
I remember when this happened. This was during the transition, right? Before he was inaugurated. Yeah.
Well, Judge Ginsburg uncovers it, and he's muzzled on shows. They can't jump ahead of the show too much. But on Monday, he uncovered all this. That he's the Washington prosecutor. It's questionable whether he's Trump's lawyer. He's always speaking for him. He's a pit bull. Like
yes.
Him. But he's...
Yeah, Joe DeVette. Yeah, I know.
He's asking for... about the leaks and the lies to the press and where, the leaks came from personal information. We're talking telephone, cell phone, computer activity and everything. Anything they can eavesdrop on. And the 40,000 was four contractors, and they made 40,000 illegal inquiries. Now, this is what Snowden was jumping up and down about and got kicked out for, and he bartered with Russia. All the news agencies agree that he gave up classified information in exchange to stay in Russia, to remain in exile.
Okay.
He is sold secrets for his stay over there, but he comes out and says, he hates Trump's guts and didn't mention that, this is Snowden's whole life is to uncover the surveillance. It was only about 1/100th of the items he stole involved FISA abuse or illegal FISA warrants opened up through purposes of intel to capture, international, you have to have a warrant.
Yes.
There's international crime going on.
There was one of these, there's a contractor. Now, there was a contractor who went to the FBI. I believe he did this in 2015. I don't have his name memorized, but he obtained immunity. And he described something that the Obama administration called the hammer. And basically, it's the NSA wiretapping grid, the stuff that you're talking about that Snowden exposed. They had access to all of that data, and that the Obama administration has been using that data to perform parallel constructions of anything that they learn that's a crime. They've been using it as blackmail. He said that is how Obama was able to blackmail the Supreme Court justices when it came to the Obamacare decision. When he went up in the plane with the guy, which justice was that? John Roberts, wasn't it? And he flew on a plane with Obama, and Obama had all of this information from the computer system, this thing that they call the hammer. And that's in 2015. He went to describe what they'd been doing, and he obtained immunity for it. And, you know, now that system, you would ostensibly, the Trump administration has access to that system now. So what are they doing with it? You know, I don't know. It just seems like they're sitting on it. You know, these people, they should have been in jail. There's plenty of evidence there to put the Clintons, you know, lots of people in the FBI in jail, but they're not in jail. It doesn't make sense to me. It just you hear people saying, oh, that all these indictments are sealed and they're going to come and just trust the plan and all this crud, man. It's like, that is not the way this country is supposed to operate. You know, the justice system has turned into a just us system. It's just us when it's those guys up there and it's a different law for them. But when they're going to come and get us and arrest us for breaking our quarantine or for walking the dog. In New York City and other places around the country right now, they're emptying the prisons of people who are 70 and above or who have pre-existing conditions or who have committed nonviolent crimes. They're letting them all go. Yeah, they're making room for the rest of us. They're making room for all of us peons who step out of line and don't say exactly what they want us to do, they're going to call us virus deniers or something like that. The ones who want to refuse the vaccine. So, you know, they're going to put those people in prison. It just, and that's just the way it looks to me. I don't know that there's a plan for that, but it's very ominous looking the way that they're treating things. If the Trump administration was legitimately concerned with justice and with us, with the American people, they would have already arrested some of these criminals because the evidence is definitely there to convict them. Well, especially Hillary.
He's been in their targets. There's a culture of people. Early on, I'm talking about three years ago, they were saying that there's a culture in the FBI that the instructors there would tell these guys in their 20s, if you want to make advancement, do not expose any right-wing leaning. You know, don't expose you. Be sold to the Democratic or you're not advancing. Then there's all these $1,000, $1,500 donors. I think that's a silver plan or whatever for the, you get the DNC protection for $1,000. And they take state, federal employees, and it's another form of plantation voting. And the culture of the FBI, so many people can have something like Lisa Page referred to as resistance. It was a coup to overthrow somebody. Nothing's more totalitarian than, suppose they did that to Obama, that Bush spied on Obama, his team spied on Obama, the incumbent spied on the opposition and got caught. And they would, Obama would be a victim and he'd get good press. But they are so, some people do believe that the press, once is motivated to make this sensationalism go against Donald so bad that it'll bump him out of the race, the presidential race.
Well, let me ask you this, John. Do you think that this whole virus is just the next step? That, they tried Russian collusion, then they tried the Ukraine thing, and then they tried the impeachment. None of that bore any fruit. So did they release this virus?
The press during the last 3 weeks has proven that they are not even serious and can't rise to the occasion. They're not capable. And that the weaponization and the let's get him, and it's all about an election. How about an economy shutdown? And so there's nothing, these people are giving us candy. it has nothing to do with the full course meal we need about what the hell news is about and, you know, reality. And so they're playing, what do you call that, hijinks? Everybody's heads
they
up.
Have been,
critic now.
A lot of people have been saying in the media, this guy, this scumbag comedian Bill Maher in particular, but not just him, a lot of people were saying, we really need a stock market crash. That's what we need to get rid of Trump. I hate to say it, he said, but we need a good recession. That'd get rid of Trump. And they're, you know, they were cheerleading the stock market to crash. They're cheerleading for the economy to collapse. And look, the economy is not as solid as they make it out to be. It's a fake economy. It's, you know, it's all pumped up with the Fed pumping dollars into Wall Street, and you know, it's just got fundamental problems. But for them to just purely the collapse is just, it's just disgusting. They don't care about people, you know.
Yeah, to openly say something like Bill Maher, you aren't capable of going on and saying a gaffe so stupidly. Of course, you know, he's a shock jock from way back, you know, Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. You know, he's half Jew, and not that it matters, but his mother was Catholic, by the way. He's confessed atheist. And, you know, he sits around, and, you know, he's never going to get married. He says he has two or three girlfriends, and everything's cool. He handles that very good. Mm-hmm. But you get him on, he was on there with Mel Brooks, an old Jew. And Mel, you know, just about, he got that big nose, like a big ear flip or something. You know,
I remember when Bill Maher had a TV show called Politically Incorrect back, about 20 years ago. And I remember when he came on to he did his show right after 9/11. The thing that I remember him saying was, okay, maybe these people were scumbags, but one thing you can't call them is cowards because they flew the planes into the building. And that was his takeaway on 9/11. That was the thing that I remember him saying right afterwards. You know, it's just.
They nuts in California, but Californians are, I don't think it ever turned red. They release of prisoners to protect the virus.
They're releasing prisoners in L.A. and in New York City, in New York State, other places. They're releasing prisoners and then closing the gun shops, you know, making it that you can't get a weapon to protect yourself. But we're going to release all of the prisoners. Probably most of the prisoners they're releasing, if they're old people, you know, with a lot of health problems, okay, but that's just the beginning, you know. This thing continues.
They don't get much public pushback, but they got pushback on that. The citizens said, "Hell, damn, we don't go along with this." But who would vote in Pelosi's district, you know, and all that? You know, skiff.
I cannot imagine. I believe they must have a lot of voter fraud. You know, I mean, look at AOC and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she just, what an idiot. but she got elected, and I don't know, that just doesn't look like they're going to be able to unseat these people. I don't know who's doing the voting, but they crammed stuff into this bill too, this relief bill about same day registration and ballot harvesting and all kinds of provisions that make it easier for them to commit voter fraud. They put a raise to themselves in there. You know, this stuff for the Kennedy Center that Trump was talking about, just that they want to get the Green New Deal that they described put into this bill. There's just no Planned Parenthood. You know, let's make sure that you can get an abortion. You know, I guess they figure that people are quarantined. There are going to be a lot of pregnancies coming up. It just galls me, man, that they do anything. They take advantage of any situation to push their agenda and increase their power.
It
disgusts me.
A $2 trillion bill, and then again, just yesterday, yesterday they appropriated the emergency bill the pandemic of $2 trillion, $4 trillion rolled out on top. The press is pretty damn hot. It's been running for 18 years straight. It's print, print, print. Media stacked up to the moon and back. They
have been given the green light, John, to buy everything. They can buy corporate debts. They can buy, they could buy anything that they need to. And the Fed says that they will not run out of ammunition. Okay. And we haven't had a mechanism in this country to recreate what happened in the Weimar Republic, because there wasn't a way to raise wages the same way that they raised the money printing and the debt. You know, at, now they've put that in place. If they get this universal basic income stipulation where that they pay everybody $1,000 a month, then yeah, they can,
Steve,
it can run away
Steve
both
Bannon.
Times. And, you know,
Steve Bannon is, you know, the chief advisor.
Steve Bannon,
our,
yeah.
He, you know, he mentioned it. Financial inferno, cash inferno. He's always been saying, you know, it's a financial, we're in a financial war with China. He's been saying it for two,
mm-hmm.
3 years. And that, you know, the rising power thing. But who is the greatest rising power? Is it Sleeping Giant or is it America? And but the thing about China, you know, their first response was that, hey, that disease already pre-existed, and you lumped it off as some kind of bronchitis, or you tell them it's asthma or something, or a virus, or you tell them it's the flu. You just misdiagnosed. And it, but that's the thing, that if they were alerted of a flu, maybe instead of stigmatizing their own country, I wouldn't put it past the CIA to divert it for national security reasons. Because wherever it originated from, it could be leveraged against as responsible somehow. And if they... Well, you know, they unveiled the biggest theft in the history of the world, of course, Trump, you know, calls the manipulation of currency. It has something to do with they could raise the yen price and make you pay more American dollars for the debt they owe. But, yeah, it's just $1 billion or something we owe. And we don't owe them that much money. We're leveraged everywhere else or hedged. And,
I think that's the biggest story. I think that is what's happening more than the virus, you know, that this is the death of the petrodollar that we're seeing. But these some things happened at the same time, you know, right about the same time that the stock market crashed on March the 13th, Friday the 13th, there was an oil price war. Russia and Saudi Arabia went into a oil pumping war, and the price of oil plummeted. You know, it was like the perfect storm to completely crash our economy, to give the impetus to this bailout bill, this quote unquote stimulus package, and all of the overreaching programs that they're putting in. They all came about at the same time. It just can't have been an accident. Things didn't just happen that way. That's the scary part. Everything seems to be so well timed to go come together, and it all goes back to last October when they planned this thing.
If everybody's innocent and it's just a natural born virus, it's possible. Then it means that the press is the most complicit in our recovery, not getting our recovery from the financial inferno. But it's almost like, they're throwing out spare parts. Oh, we don't need this profit for 3 or 4 months. And then,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, it's contingent upon the public thinking it's worth getting the disease, and that there's a cure for the disease. H or an antibody, we call it inoculation, immunization. You know, immunization is the only way to stop the spread, but a cure just, you know, everybody gets it and they just treated for it. That's still spreading.
And they're trying to suppress the cure. That Trump talked about the thing that was being done. Well, Trump talked about the treatment that they were given in France. They get treating people with chloroquinolone, which is similar to quinine, and azithromycin. I don't know why they're using the antibiotic. Maybe they're secondary bacterial infections that come along with the pneumonia. That could be. But those two drugs given together had cured a lot of people in France, and they were starting to use it here. And the governor of Nevada, as well as Cuomo in New York, both of them banned that use. They banned being able to give it to patients. I mean, that is ridiculous, you know? Why would they?
I wonder if that chloroquine is also called blue goo.
I don't know. It's chloroquinolone.
Well, my cousin said his antiquities friend caught a respiratory illness over, it was 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting there gagging with bronchitis and can't breathe. That's when you cough and you can't catch your breath. And, you know, I went to the doctor, and he gave me one of them asthma breathers, dilator. And I was in there gagging, and he said, here, I got something for it. What is it, Billy? It's developed by CIA. Our friend DJ, he wouldn't tell me the name of it because he didn't know, I don't think. It was like pool cleaner or something. Then I found out it's the same shit. It's described because he said for bronchitis, well, guess what? I took it immediately, stopped itching. It was inflamed bronchial tubes. And immediately vanished. I'm sitting there, I smoke and everything else back then.
Mm-hmm.
I was younger.
Hey, but you don't know what this stuff was?
Blue goo.
You say you called it blue goo. Okay,
yeah, so
blue
now it's Google before nothing comes up. But it's real weird we got blue goo because you put two drops in your mouth and it slides down your throat and it's this chemical taste, but it feels like it expands like it's doing something cellular to your tongue, your throat.
Yeah. Now that's one I've never heard of.
Well,
yeah, I've never heard of that one.
He said it came out of the travels, this guy deals with antiquities, and he kept getting this nasty stranger stuff, and it, he said it, well, he was talking about girlfriends putting on a vagina, and it instantly does stuff, and cures anything it touches, a earache, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
And it, he gave me some, and Billy is not a very credible person. He's a rock singer. Says he used to party with Steven Tyler and Rick Derringer. And his buddy owned Center Stage. His guitarist owned Center Stage for 40 years, and I believe him. But, they have after concert parties. Junkies needed people like him.
That brings back memories of AJ's Rock and Roll Emporium back in the 80s. I was furniture there for a few years.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
almost sounds like the miracle MMS stuff that they're pushing, chlorine dioxide or something that's supposed to cure malaria. I've seen some people that have been pushing it, and it's very cheap to make. I've seen several people that promoted that. I don't know how that works or if it works. I have been meaning to try to investigate it some, but as for myself,
Billy was telling me that for Ebola, they use it, and for Desert Storm, they use it, and it's developed by the CIA, blah, blah, blah. And it, he was telling me all that shit.
That's intriguing. I wish you knew what it was exactly, because we could sure use a little bit of the magic right now.
I'm going to broadcast bright blue stuff to kill algae that's not supposed to be there. Australia to clean some kind of algae glue there that If they broadcast it out there and it kills the algae, it doesn't kill the fish. And, okay,
you know, that's funny you say that, because some guy listened to what Trump said and he went and got the fish tank cleaner. There's something that's similar, with a similar name at least, that is a fish tank cleaner. And he went and took that and it killed him. He didn't know what he was doing. He just got it. But the media jumped on that and blamed Trump because some guy goes out and buys the fish cleaner and it kills him and takes it himself, you know, with not knowing the dose or, you know, people need to have a doctor, you know, they need to know that they can carry this, that they can take this and take the correct dose, but there's no reason to block the cure.
Well,
that's what makes no sense.
Really, you know, the antibody testing would actually age for people that haven't, well, I guess they couldn't prove it, but they, if they hadn't traveled any and a bunch of people have it, then that means it's probably 2 years old.
It would, yes.
The immunosystem. Everybody's immunosystem that creates antibodies has had it. And so the antibody test is what they use for AIDS. And so,
well, that's what they're using in China. They have a blood test that checks for the antibodies in China and takes 15 minutes. As far as I know, they don't have any kind of test here that will check for the antibodies yet.
Mount Sinai. The Mount Sinai Institute and the Carl Icahn Institute, he's a billionaire that started a medical building there. They said they have it, it's in hand, and it's just a test now. It's not that you test people's blood with it. So it doesn't, nobody's at harm for releasing. They said the technology's in their hand. And then another organization, I forget what it was called, but there's two or three of them that say, we have the antibodies right here. It wasn't that hard to replicate.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be. They've patented this virus. There's been a patent years ago. Bill Gates owns the patent, you know. And, of course, now that it's out and spreading around, people are mutating it, and there are different strains coming up. But it seems like you would be able to test for the antibodies. And it just seems that they're not telling us everything. They must know that.
The governments that have socialized medicine for the public has antibody tests readily available, but which doesn't insert in your body, you know, it's from your blood. Is it no danger at all? And then how many of them that pay for their own, you know, there's no profit in medical because it's socialized, that allow antibody tests immediately. And then the other kind of tests aren't allowed here. I mean, the antibody test probably won't be allowed here because they can't market whoever has the antibody. Maybe somebody already has the antibody and that they'll be first to get it legal. So if it'd be proof in the pudding, if every country that pays for their medical just rolls it out, otherwise I would cry foul that somebody's trying to monetize, you know, if they have a patented, whoever's awarded the contract.
Well, the CDC is the CDC is a vaccine producing factory, a corporation that sells vaccines. They're not a public health entity. They own all of these patents and they get money for billions and billions of dollars for pushing vaccines. And there's no way I trust them. I just don't trust what they say.
They have a primate center. They test monkeys. They really do.
Yes.
Test monkeys, Cousin Billy is always making me laugh about a test monkey. There's four little test monkeys. Our own little test monkeys went through hell about 3 years ago, you know, up here at this Inman Zoo.
Hollywild, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywild, they had a horrible accident down there, Steve, that one of the primates knocked over a kerosene heater at night. So they all got smoke inhalation and died.
I remember it killed a lot of their animals, yeah.
They were very sad.
Hey, listen, let me give out the number again, John. The number is 855-492-6049. If you're listening and would like to join us, please feel free to call in. I'd like to know how things are in your neck of the woods, what kind of experiences you've had with this thing. It's like, and if there's another topic you'd like to discuss too, feel free to call and bring it up. I'm doing the roundtable tonight for Mr. Richard Carey here on revisionmedia.org. We've had some difficulties with Facebook and, you know, with censorship. So I did not know that Richard had planned on skipping tonight, but, you know, I had sent the number to a few people who I don't know if you're listening. But if you'd like to call in and talk to us, please do. And, you know, we'll be back next Wednesday if everything goes according to plan. And Richard Carey will have his show at 8 p.m. next Wednesday called Arcane Semantics, and I'll be his guest on that show. And the other shows, the schedule's on the revisionmedia.org website. And I won't say hello to any listeners, you know, because this is kind of a tight little group of the people that I end up interacting with here. And I just wanted to put that out there if anybody's listening, and please feel free to call in. So, yeah, John, back at Hollywild, I remember when that happened, and I had heard that they were going to put that place out of business, but I think they still have the animals up there. I don't know how they're feeding the animals if they're not, you know, running the tours and everything they used to. This is a local, basically a zoo in our area that would loan the animals out to be in films and movies. A lot of them have been in different movies, and then they do tours for people, and then during the Christmas season, they'll have a huge Christmas light show that people can come ride through. And it's a few years ago, like John said, there was a monkey or some kind of primate that knocked over a kerosene lantern in one of the barns and killed a lot of those animals and damaged some of them. So, yeah. Did you say some of the primates there had been test monkeys at the CDC? Was that what you started to?
They had the cougar from the commercial that ran for years. I don't know how long cougars live, but they had him in there. Uh-huh. And they had several of the primates that had been passed around zoos and rescue animals, and a lot of them from Hollywood.
The Mercury cougar. I remember him.
Zoos are kind of like a violation of humanity themselves. They're kind of the animals. They always feel like they're superior. I guess they don't have carnal sin or, you know, sin.
They say that's a well, I remember when they used to put them all in. I remember when they used to put all the animals in cages, but they've redesigned them now so that the animals have a free reign, and the humans come in. The humans are kind of in the cage when they go in to look at the animals, which that's a lot more interesting to me, where you can see an animal out in its habitat, even though it's not really natural. At least they get to be out in the sun and, you know, interact with each other, whereas that's better than putting them in a cage.
I just drove down Asheville Highway in South Carolina, you know, Spartanburg, and it's sort of like a ghost town, with the McDonald's had about 20 cars in line with it. There's fast food joints are serving, but it seems like it's shut down, you know. And
the whole country is shutting down. It's eerie. It's just surreal the way things look. And I have seen that it's going to get worse. A friend of mine in Montana said they're going to do a shelter in place, stay-at-home quarantine starting Sunday night in Montana. And I was hoping she might call in. She's a nurse, and we would be able to get some information from her, but that's happened in other places.
Yeah, Ron Paul, who's Paul, what is it, Ron Paul's dad?
Rand Paul, his son, yeah.
Rand Paul's, Ron Paul, the old... he's an ex-treasurer, and I think he was a treasurer for like 8 years or something in the 70s. And he's really big on this, yes, they do take your money in the government. And three or four times on his watch, they did it, that they just wipe people out and strip them of their money. And, you know, he's always saying that, Ron Paul is.
And, yeah, he wanted to end the Fed.
Yeah.
Ron Paul is probably the only politician that I ever really supported completely. I thought if he could become the president, we might have a chance. You know, I just, he spoke the truth more than anyone I have ever known. And I remember after 9/11, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich were the only two guys there that were trying to stop that authorization for the use of military force. They were the only guys that stood against that. And Dennis Kucinich is a lefty, you know, he's a Democrat, but he had a little bit of integrity there. And I don't see that anywhere in our Senate or the House of Representatives. Where can you find that now? It's very, very few, or I can't think of anybody that I would put up, Rand Paul, maybe. Rand Paul seems to be a pretty good representative.
Rand Paul started a motion to make the an audit of the Federal Reserve.
And, yes.
I heard some news about it about a couple months ago, but I don't remember.
Lots of luck with that now, man. They have so much power now. They've just been given carte blanche. It's basically the Federal Reserve is pumping up all the dollars so that they can purchase all the corporations. So that it'll be a fascist system, basically, where the government owns the businesses. And the Fed owns the government already. You know, these people have been in this revolving door policy, the FDA and the Monsanto executives. You know, people that are in big pharma and in the regulatory commission, they go back and forth so that they can do anything. They won't get away with anything, put the poison in our food, you know, pump the poison in the vaccines. You know, the other countries ban a lot of the stuff that we get fed. They push the GMOs. Yeah. I saw that genetically modified cotton that I guess it's Monsanto has been producing. Well, in the current situation, I don't know if it's the locusts or if it's some other insect is wiping it out in India. India went to that GMO cotton. It's going to grow bigger. It's going to grow faster, but it's a monoculture and it's more susceptible to shocks.
The Federal Reserve has the power. Of releasing all unemployment data. It's sort of like a buffer, I guess. You know, they give them all kind of, they relegate all kind of duties to them. That one of them releasing the figure, Trump was running on unemployment's probably 20%, not the damn 12 that you're reporting. And that would fall on the shoulders of them lying about, you know, the unemployment figures. You know, it just goes by how many new submissions of unemployment income is. But they shut down the cash machine. It's been shut down all the way at profit. Who needs that stuff from the oil sector? But stocks are roaring back the last 3 days, though.
Oh, it's the best 3 days ever. That's the best 3-day gain that Wall Street has ever had. And I can see the future. It's going to climb again. But then when it gets up, it's going to crash again. This volatility is just being manipulated.
Sachs and Goldman has a report, and there said that the first quarter will be -6. The second quarter, which starts April 15th to July 15th, would be, they had it at 24% negative. Negative. And the first quarter will be -6. The second quarter will be -24. But the third quarter, they say a 12-plus bounce back. Yeah, I guess it'd be right around.
Okay. So that's Goldman Sachs forecast for right now? I had not seen that.
The fourth quarter of this year, they say it'll be -6. That's their projection.
Overall,
it's about 5-day-old report that Sachs and Goldman.
They say that overall we're going to be about -18% then.
Yeah, but that also means they're no better than us. They do finances at just deciding what the hell this impact will be from this damn virus. So it's back to their bankers and lawyers and Harvard lawyers and shit like that that do economic stuff. But they don't know any more than we do about this impact. I don't think if you asked one of them, hey, if you cut down the money machine by 50% of production, at the same time, will we have 3 million applicants for unemployment checks?
Yep. A friend of mine, a lot of people have been laid off. I'm seeing it on my Facebook news feed, and my friend in Asheville, who works at a Subaru dealership, she got laid off today. So everybody is going to be out of work in another
couple
of
weeks. They haven't, gaslighted them yet, but they will about that. You know, so far, the metro areas are hit hardest, and I do believe metro areas, you know, want to put them in prison, want to, you know, shrink the most. They want to block his judge appointees. They just want to cause as much metropolitan areas is where the DNC is concentrated.
And, it is. He noticed that all of these all these people that are being hardest hit and locking everything down, it's right there in the blue cities, places where they have huge, they at least had huge homeless populations and sanctuary cities. I saw a map of the COVID 19 cases where they were starting, you know, where they were concentrated. Almost every one of them was a sanctuary city.
They'll leave the evangelical prophets that say that a godless man will take over a new nation and he'll be godless, but he'll do God's work, as prophesied by John. And
I had hope to hear from a fellow that is a Bible scholar tonight. I wanted to pick his brain about these things, but I'm checking the moon out tonight, and that is just a tiny, tiny sliver of a fingernail moon up there. It just, wow, I've not seen that in a while. I just happened to walk out on the porch, and wow, that's really wild. It looks like what you see at the top of a mosque, you know, that little crescent moon, but it's just a tiny sliver. I guess that means that the new moon is tomorrow or I don't know whether it's coming or going. And I see
it's kind of weird that they appropriated the $2 trillion to pump to save people during this three-month period. But we don't know what percentage of those damn bills aren't for the same old profit crap that, you know, that the recipients that are out of work, I don't know how much of that bill is going to reach them.
I don't either. They say that the direct deposits are coming soon. It said that they have until December the 31st of 2020 to get the payments to you, that they should be coming in 3 weeks. 3 weeks at the soonest and December 31st at the latest, though. That's not going to sustain people for very long. You know, you get a couple of months there. Unless the economy comes back, this country will be destroyed. I've got a Chinook here, too.
There's a lot of people that are in debt, and that this will be, you know, this will tilt the pinball machine because they won't be able to resume payments unless the bank forgives. And they're going to do all that shit, the bank forgiving people. What effect does that have? And then who selectively gets helped and who doesn't?
Exactly.
But if they help everybody, I don't think they can afford it because and then the fraud, you know, the fraud part of it, there'd be a lot of fraud involved with this. $2 trillion is a lot of damn money. I mean, if you think it's conceivable how much, if this cash was sitting, I don't know how big it would be. I'm sure I could find out on the web, couldn't I?
You probably could.
It's
hard to imagine the amount of cash. All this cash that they're throwing out there, and they're putting $1 trillion a day in the banks. And eventually, all that money is going to start to have an effect, and hyperinflation will hit. That's my biggest fear at the moment. No, well, it's not my biggest fear, but it's one of them. There's so many right now, you know. You just pick your fear.
They're doing the right thing by flooding the market with giving people access to money. They're encouraging lending. And then, that's the rich people taking advantage of this less than a quarter of a percent. You know, it's free money. And then Trump said, I'm pissed that they're doing buybacks. You know, this has all been like GE or somebody went and did buybacks after they fired everybody. And they're supposed to use the money to get employment back, you know, to bring employment back. But they're firing everybody and just going to their own coffers and buying their own stocks, doing a buyout when it's low. But if I guess they wouldn't, you know, if people like GE and all the super companies, if they didn't think their stock was a good buy, they wouldn't be buying it, I guess. So, like Carl Icahn, you know who he is?
I've heard that name, Carl Icahn. Yeah,
he's kind of an active investor. He goes in and criticizes the board members and says, here, we're going to need to make some changes. And he buys up 20% of the company, so he has control, 20% control of the board, and he runs in there, runs his mind. A little Brooklyn guy. He's funny as hell. Anyway, Carl, he says things unusual, but he says, no, I don't think so. You know, he talks like that. And he said there's a lot of buy opportunities and that we got more pain coming. And, you know, like that, like his everyday occurrence, the virus. So that if he can shrug it off, and he says, you know, he's got his bets hedged about 3 years ago. He's expecting some kind of a crash, you know, 3 years ago. You know, but, you know, he's worth five.
I heard people say that they expected this to happen next March, next February or March. That would be when the crash came, and this virus has just pushed it ahead. You know, they're ahead of schedule. One of the strangest things that I've heard was during a press conference, Pompeo came on and he said that we're in the middle of a live exercise. I mean, is that just a poor choice of words or what's going on? You know, that just made, that really made no sense for him to say that we're in the middle of a live exercise while this is happening. About 2 months ago, maybe it was just 6 weeks ago, but Pompeo was testifying before Congress, and this was when everything was just starting, and Trump had said it was a hoax, a Democratic hoax, what they were saying, and this guy grilled Pompeo over and over again. He asked him point blank, is COVID-19 a hoax? Is COVID-19 a hoax? And Pompeo would not answer him. He wouldn't say one way or the other. And it just stinks, man. The whole thing
is, if I were Trump, and this is what I think he did, he called everybody in and said, not that I could beat Trump or anything, but he said that, listen, you know, the dollar, instilling confidence is our number one job. You know, lie, cheat, steal, it doesn't matter. Only an idiot would go against the confidence of the dollar. And that I want you to give forward-leaning statements. You know, that's the instructions of every corporation in America. When you're talking about your own stock or your own company, you know, you don't say negative things. And same thing with America. So he's a businessman. So, you know, Pompeo said, no matter how much they try to trap you, don't say something derogatory about it and don't destroy some of the nefarious assumptions of his hick voters that think that, you know, that fuels the voters if there's a faction of people that believe that it's a hoax, okay? And so Mike Pompeo is on the, he's muzzled so that they have one message of unity coming out of there. And it's a very complex thing because these writers and interviewers and the press know exactly what to ask him to get them to have a conflict between them. So I think Pompeo was just saying, this is an exercise saying, you know, I'm not going to answer that because, you know, he wants the base voters to know that him and he's synonymous with Trump, and unified with him, and that that'll make him powerful, and he's not going to, you know, betray his base by acting like he, you know, anything else. So I think those words are, they tried to trap him into something, and he button hooked him with that. And,
well, he wouldn't answer at all. You know, he just, he would just ignored the question. And I don't know what the truth is about it. It just, it's very, very suspicious for him to come out and say that we're in the middle of a live exercise up there. And they've, it was almost like they were mocking the Q people too. One time when, who was it? I don't know which one said the CB, TS was what they called the corona, something about the testing system. And that also could stand for calm before the storm. And they all just kind of, they just kind of giggled at it. And Trump said something about the Department of Deep State too. And I don't know.
Is a realist that probably says, okay, our enemy is the press. They're a part of this. So the exercise part is saying that it's a matter of everyday life now, that it's a matter of fact that the press is synonymous with the DNC. You can't put nothing past them. He, you know, he talks to the National Security Council. What is his position? Is
he's the Secretary of State, I believe.
Secretary of State.
He was CIA director, and he went from CIA to State.
Yeah, and it.
In an interview, and he said, of course he lies and steals, that when he was in the CIA, they had whole courses about how to lie and how to steal. And this is the guy that we've got there. I don't know. It's just disheartening sometimes when you get right down and look at the bare facts of what's happening.
A strategist is always in the front of the game. And Pompeo is a strategist, you know. I think was he a West Point boy or something? I don't know, but he old military guy, and so those guys are always strategists. So would you say it'd be not this time frame, but the next one? That's what he's responding to. The next domino to fall might be it's an economic war with China. He's got some intel information that China did have a role in creating the virus, maybe. That's what you're saying, you know.
It's possible. I have heard Francis Boyle, who wrote the bioweapon terrorism law, he said that he had found where the virus originated from Fort Detrick in 2015, that it went to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where it underwent gain-of-function testing. And they did things to the virus that gave it, you know, made it more infectious, and then sold it to China. Obama administration did. The Obama administration, they put a moratorium on that kind of work, but this was one of the projects that they had already in the pipeline, and they allowed it to continue. And then, you know, he had the chain of custody for the, you know, he had the goods on him, so to speak, that he saw that that's where it was done. And then China got it after that. And it went also up to Canada, where there was this lab that people were trying to say that it was smuggled out of this lab in Canada to China, where some people worked and went back and forth. And also some people were arrested for colluding with China too, just about the same time. And I don't, you know, to find this, I don't know how we're going to find out exactly how it happened. It's kind of like 9/11. How exactly that happened? Well, I just know that the official story is a lie. That's the main thing that you can tell, is that what they're telling us officially is not true. They did this to us. You know, it's not a natural occurring event. It's not, There's just no way that it is. All of the telegraphing they did with Event 201 last October, they had a tabletop exercise where they war gamed this whole thing out. And they did that at Johns Hopkins. Bill Gates ran it. And you can look this up online. You go to Event 201, and it describes what they had, what they did. They practiced the whole thing. They practiced for a coronavirus outbreak, and it turned into a pandemic. Their estimates were 65 million people would die. And they talked about censoring media. They talked about everything that would happen that is happening already. And I don't know if it'll continue or if it's going to pull back.
Well, the prophecies of Revelations said that Charles Fillmore was giving me interpretations. He's a guy that, you know, he's a biblical expert. He's founded Unity Church. And he dives into every book in the world, but Shakespeare or anything, you name it. But he said that it'll be a psychic enemy of the new nation. He's saying this nation, the ten-headed beast, all psychic. Jesus spoke of everything psychic, even that the psychic is what Exodus is about, that his healing was a psychic method. Nothing's done. He doesn't sit there and disseminate, you know, we're talking about things like angry fire ants on a mound, in which hole and which one's going in there, you know. That's about, it reminds me of the chaos in Maxwell Smart, and it reminds me of the chaos.
Chaos and control? Yeah.
Yeah. And, also the cartoons were, was it Mighty Mouse or... Simon Says control the world, and their eyes were spinning like pinwheels.
Underdog, or maybe,
yeah,
I don't know, cartoons, but yeah, that's exactly the way the world is. You know, it's just a cartoon. It's funny, but that's exactly what we're living in. I wake up every day and it feels like I'm living in a really bad science fiction movie. It's
surreal. Nobody psychically can accept that. The reason I keep saying that is that word, you know, we break it into emotions and finances and intellect. And, but the psychic, it being the mental, you know, in metaphysics, that's the only thing that will exist when we perish. And that the psychic always remains. And this whole thing about this carnal will of man to destroy itself, they'll be their undoing is carnal sin, or, you know, just going for money instead of community, you know.
I've been looking for this thing. I read this last week on the round table. This guy, James True, wrote a blog, and he wrote this the 17th of March, but if you indulge me a minute, let me read this again, because this pretty much just sums up what it looks like is happening right now. It's called "The Stimulus is the Virus." This virus we're seeing painted before our eyes is the stimulus masquerading as a vaccine. COVID-19 is just the adjuvant. In the world of vaccines, an adjuvant is any ingredient that induces shock into the immune system intentionally. Any president, any year, could say any virus is killing us and come up with the numbers to prove it. Remember when NASA fudged data to tell you sea levels were rising in 2016? Remember when 18 intelligence agencies told you they found WMDs in Iraq? Or when the 9/11 Commission found Building 7 was a fire and used Popular Mechanics to cover for it? How many more lies do people need to stop trusting them? Trump didn't invent the COVID-19 virus. He published it. He didn't publish it to hurt you. He published it to give you a cure. Our children will not like this cure. You will, though. So will your neighbors. So will your boss. Trump is going to give you money to take his medicine. What is happening to us now versus how this will be recorded are as different as night and day. History is graffiti, and the biggest paint can wins. If more people understood this, they could see through today's lie, but they will only see through it if they want to. And therein lies the problem. No one wants to see through it. Instead, John Hopkins is running a poll over how much information they should hide from you. Just like on the right, people on the left who hate Trump hate truthers even more. To them, Trump only threatens the score in the game. Truthers threaten the entire stadium. This makes everyone nervous. Fans like the game. They like to pretend there are no Panthers in the jungle. They like to assume sociopaths, psychopaths would never penetrate the government. People inside this fantasy will come after you long before they'll go after Trump. You're way more dangerous to them than their orange xenophobic Hitler monster in the ring. They cling to this game and reject anyone who tries to show them it's bogus. Half of us are worried the state is coming for us. The other hold a fantasy it'll make everything better. That's what the New World Order likes to call checkmate. All the CEOs stepping down have a big payout and remain on the board for a couple of years. This isn't a secret underground punishment. It's compensation for cooperation. All of the celebrities are endorsing the New World Order by claiming they have the virus. They gather free publicity and scoop up our sympathy, wishes, and compensation. The CEOs and the celebrities know the plan all of us have been told to blindly trust. Even the IMF knows. They've had $1 trillion waiting for us in the wings. They're the New World Order's bank, after all, so they can afford it. Their last kill shot was Venezuela. It's a one-world government now. And a quick aside, I saw that the feds had indicted Maduro and the Venezuela government on federal narco-terrorism charges today. There's no such thing as a state bank. Gaddafi was the last of the Mohicans. The good news is the virus isn't dangerous. The problem is Trump already spent $8 billion for science to disagree. This MIT biologist will tell you the same if you'd rather it come from someone with credentials. Credentials turn liars into fact technicians. Of course, money is its own credential, too. If they can shut down every business for a flu virus, we can have a national economic emergency to boot. The emergency lets Trump introduce his stimulus. The new stimulus will end the dollar, end version 1.0 of the Federal Reserve, and end the ability for your children to barter privately or have social outbursts like I get to do in this article. When Trump wipes out student loan debt, don't forget I've always said we would beg for the New World Order. Meanwhile, this guy won $100,000 in court for claiming measles isn't a virus. You'll love the new gold-backed dollar they got cooking. It's not backed by real gold, but is backed by the idea that it's there. Hopefully, it will feature a man on the moon to go in the scrapbook for Club 33. The new dollar, a centralized blockchain built off XRP or Ripple, Jimmy Fallon will sing a cute song about it. Every dollar will be attached to your Social Security account. You can scan it with your phone and turn it digital. This will pave the way for universal income, disaster relief payments, and social crediting. All of the people who have written people like me off as crazy will be able to assign me as problematic from their cell phone. It will be anonymous, too, so they won't have to be confronted or even feel bad. And all of this will come with a stimulus with $1,000 cash. Even as I type, I'm like, damn, that sounds cool. This virus has been in the works since 1988. America is a regime of its former self. Genghis Khan didn't kill his enemies as much as he seduced them. That's why he got so much tail. First we shut down everything. Then we give them monopoly money. Then they'll do anything we want to make it go back to normal. Hypothetically, that's Steve Bannon you were referring to. All of the people who ever called me a conspiracy theorist have been really quiet this week. Some of them have been sending me private messages asking me questions. If you're new here, here's a quick primer. Nothing is what they tell you. You're worth more alive as a tax slave, so don't freak out. Building 7 is a litmus test to see who's still in denial. My warped sense of optimism comes out in weird ways, but if you're worried about your life, take heart. No rancher wants to kill their own cattle, especially not when they will fight any other animal that disagrees with their master. This kind of backstabbing loyalty takes thousands of years to breed. We're worth far more alive than dead. Some of you have been asking how to prepare. My answer is you'll be fine. Find your center and make it contagious. If things get worse, I will be implementing Operation Wildlife Crossing and form a quasi-militia to fix the right-of-way problem for critters. This means a lot of our roads will need to go so we can grow food and animals. We need fewer roads, not more. A single-horse-powered vehicle is so much cooler than a stupid Tesla. Yep, everybody's got to get their shots. Some of you will be getting them in the head. America. That was written by James True, and I read that last roundtable too. It sums things up for me. It's like they want to implement the digital dollar and the social credit score and the 5G control grid. They want to turn the whole world into China, basically. And I don't know whether Trump's trying to stop him or help him at this point. It's hard to tell. He's pushing this stimulus through, and I don't know. It's just very disheartening when you look at it that way. I don't know. Did we get another caller? I thought I heard someone chime in. Is anyone there?
It's me.
Oh, John, okay. All right. Well, yeah, you probably, did you hear that last Thursday? I think you were on, too, with us.
Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about, it resonates. I mean, the guy, but it's kind of a broad stroke. I don't see him
pointing
out exactly, why anything could be done better or how it could be done better.
I agree. He was describing, I think, the end game. That's the end game they have in mind. Whether they'll push this crisis through to get all those things implemented, I don't know. But they've gotten everybody conditioned, to where we'll accept the National Guard and martial law, and we'll accept our rights being done away with and told what to do for our safety, for our health. 9/11 got people to trade their liberty for security because we were under attack. The terrorists hated our freedom, so we had to give some of it up. We had to give up our freedom because the terrorists hated it, and they pushed through the Patriot Act, and then now they want us to give up more liberty for our health. It's okay. Just you don't need rights. The Constitution, that's out the door. We don't need that anymore because there's a virus, and you need to stay healthy. And I don't know. It just looks like that's the agenda. Whether even if they didn't do it on purpose and release the virus on purpose, which I do think someone did, then they're definitely pushing that agenda every bit they can. Did I hear someone else join us? Another caller?
Yeah, it's Tony. Am I coming through?
Yeah. Hi. How you doing? I hear you. Where are you?
Yeah,
aren't
fantastic.
You up in Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. Good to hear from you. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I missed a lot of the show, so my apologies for that. It's a communist power grab, and there's just no way around it. And I'm wise enough to know that the $1,200 or whatever, what is your freedom worth, right? But the problem is you're going to have to take it because everybody else is getting it. I mean, it's just a mess. And shutting down the economy, I just have to question that. All the restaurants and why we didn't quarantine the elderly people. Why didn't we quarantine? You know what I'm saying? Now, they say you're going to take it back to them, but there's nothing to prevent that now. Right? Either way, they've got to be separated. They've got to have more than the 6 feet. Because of the compromised position. And I agree with Trump, which I'm not a big Trump fan, but I definitely don't like the Democrats on the other side, just to make that clear. I think they're full of lunatics and perverts. But
haven't they shown their true colors? I mean, they really have shown their true colors in all this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with the earmarks that they put in there for the Kennedy Center and all this shit. And I haven't been able to keep up with all of it. Right, just clearly taking advantage of a crisis situation. If you don't think this is by design, I mean, the very fact that they try to work earmarks in there just tells you that's what it's all about. It's not about
all kinds of diversity quotas and just ridiculous stuff, and make sure Planned Parenthood gets their money. They have really, and the way that Cuomo and Newsom have just settled into their little position as dictators over their state, you can see how happy they are. They're giddy with the power.
Exactly. Yeah, and people can debate whether you want to call this martial law or not, with a medical crisis, a pandemic, whatever. But still, the question remains, we're living under executive order, right, in the state level.
Yes.
Okay, and so the question still remains. I mean, how long can you do that, right? Your legislators have to get off their ass and pass laws or ordinances or whatever, even if it be temporary. Your governor, your executors are not supposed to be just ruling as dictators, right?
No.
Their job is to enforce the law and to keep the peace. And if they find themselves in a situation where they have to keep the peace, but the law has not addressed it, then you have executive order, martial law, what have you. Okay. But at some point, I mean, how long can they do that, right? At some point, whether they, you know, I think it's a power grab. I think legislators are also lazy and don't like to get off their ass and do shit. And they're always haggling for their special interests, which means diversity doesn't work because it's the diversity of interests that are butting heads constantly. Mm-hmm. Even though they try to say diversity is our strength, it's not. It's what caused that. And we didn't have all this gridlock in government like this, even though they used to beat the shit out of each other on the Congress floor in centuries past. So,
yep.
Anyway, yeah, I don't want to take over the show.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, let me ask you, what conditions are you seeing? What kind of restrictions you living under? And have you been by a hospital or an ER or something?
The closing of all of the restaurants and such, that's all in my state. It's all executive order by the governor.
Same here. Yep, same here. I'm in South Carolina.
In Virginia, north of.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't even know if he actually did it. Everybody's just complying. I know in Virginia, yeah. In Maryland, I can't remember his name. But he's Republican. But he's very far left. But yeah, he actually decreed all kind of stuff. Now, we have a law, interestingly, we have a law in Virginia that says that our governor cannot ban the sale of firearms and our Second Amendment right under emergencies to any kind of shit like that, right? He's forbidden to do it. So what they're doing is saying, okay, gun stores are open, but you can't have more than 10 people in the store.
Okay. Well, because in South Carolina, the governor said that you can break up a group of three people, more than three people, that three people can be told to break it up and move along, you know, basically. And that doesn't apply to businesses or families, you know, at the same house or whatever, but that's the strictest I've heard yet, three people, you know, and I don't know, a lot of churches...
All major cities have loitering laws like that, but yeah, if you're in a suburban or rural area, yeah, that's absurd, right?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you that this is a communist takeover, that they're trying to instigate a cultural revolution, a Maoist cultural revolution based on a virus and based on the medical
procedures. Or just condition,
you know,
people to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my angle. We're being conditioned to accept illegal actions by the government, because here's the problem, right? There's no punishment for that, right? Like, we have the Constitution, right? So they're not supposed to write these laws to step all over our speech and our right to defend ourselves with arms. Okay, so they get them, but they do it anyway, because all that happens is you get tied up in court fighting this shit, and when it's all said and done, okay, their shit doesn't stand, but there's no repercussion for them committing a crime, an illegal act of deliberately making bad legislation, illegal legislation. But see, now, if you commit crimes against the laws that they write, you have serious consequences, man. Incarceration and whatever.
Yeah, it's exposing the corruption of the system, man. It's like, instead of a justice system, I was saying, there's a just us system when it comes to them. Different set of laws for them. And they're emptying the prisons now. They're letting people go. Okay, some of these people are in there for just BS crimes. All right, that's fine, but they're letting people who are 70 or above or with pre-existing conditions out of the prisons because they don't want to take care of them if they get sick, I guess, for one, but at the same time trying to close down the gun shops and make it so that we can't defend ourselves. It seems like they're trying to make room in the prison for the people who go out and violate their curfew or who stand up to them. It's very ominous the way things are happening.
Wow, that's an interesting angle. I never thought of that. That is an interesting angle.
Yeah.
If they have a cash inferno burning, then it stands to reason they should get their ass in gear and make immediately free at-home antibody tests Mount Sinai, or, you know, the Icahn Institute says they got it right there in their lab. They've already developed it, and so there's about three other places. I guess they all want the contract, or all four of them are going to get it, but they're not. And they go on to say it's not that complicated to get the antibody for the immunization. You know, you get the antibody, and they produce it, and then they inoculate with it, you know. And that would stop the spread. But it would also prove, if this is a virus that's been kicking around for years that they repackaged on our ass, then it would prove that I've already had it, so I don't have to hear about it no more, and I can go presume my duties, you know. And then,
well, they're saying you can get reinfected with this thing, too. They're saying people who they think have recovered, then they get reinfected. I don't know if it's reinfected or they have a relapse off of the original one, but that was happening. China reported that. I haven't heard it from other places yet, but that's ominous sounding too. But it's so hyped up, you know. There, I was mentioning earlier, Tony, that this guy Jason Goodman walked in New York City. He went to a Presbyterian hospital, I believe it was, and he went up and he talked to the EMTs, and there were nine ambulances just sitting there and wanting to know, well, how many people have you got? You know, nobody would tell him. It was like business as usual. They weren't overflowing. And I've seen some video from people inside New York hospitals put out, and they've got empty beds in there. I mean, that maybe it's not good, but they put out a headline today that 13 people died from this, and that was apocalyptic. You know, I mean, 13 people die from it in New York City, and that's an apocalypse. How many people died from an OD?
Well, like,
you know?
Cuomo's, and New York is, because they want to get the bigger piece of his money.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what
he wants
Cuomo's pushing for.
He was having a slap fit with Trump over the ventilators. Cuomo is setting himself up to run for president, I believe. I think that he is pushing this for all it's worth. I read something earlier.
You know what? I started seeing that too, right? Given the situation they're in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
Biden,
I can't stand him or his brother. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Me either.
He's an embarrassment to Italian Americans, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. Did you see him? Did you see him and his brother get into it on CNN where he was interviewing him? Oh, it was a little. That was the best thing on TV last week. It's like
it was the most disgusting thing, man. It was an incestuous circle jerk, man. It was I met a buddy's house, and that's why I caught that. And then later I find out the whole time they're trying to push this these earmarks and they're acting like that doesn't even matter. Like all that matters is this slopper fest between what Chris and Andrew or whatever, the Cuomo homo bro. You know, to give money to New York.
Yep. Well, I read something something where Governor Cuomo had touted this thing where he was going to make hand sanitizer in the prisons. And I read a little article about it, and it's a scam. I mean, they've taken hand sanitizer and repackaged it, just put it in a different bottle, and they've got a label on it that says NYS Clean on it. And, you know, it's a scam. I don't see how he could think that he wouldn't be found out for that. It's just ridiculous, you know, that he's doing this great thing to fight price gouging so that everybody can get this good hand sanitizer where it's hard. And it's just, you know, completely fake thing. And he's pushing those kind of events and things, I think, to run for president. And Biden is just pitiful, man. You know, he just like he's got Alzheimer's or something. So I don't see how the Democrats.
That's not to pick on him, or no, I didn't. I definitely disagreed with him in his politics and everything in his life and his whole thing about how great it is that the white population is being replaced. You know, the founding stock even said, and I had all kind of issues with him, but. But I'm not trying to pick on the guy. His brain, he's failing. I mean, and that's just the other alternative is being dead. He's old, he's failing. And, I just can't see. Well, that's why the conspiracy Hillary angle comes in, right? And then she wouldn't have to kill him, and he could step down. I could see that. But, no, this thing with Cuomo, I wouldn't be surprised So to see that, you know, he's definitely testing the waters to, you know, trying to pull, you know, like Giuliani, you know, like this great leader of the biggest city and all that kind of shit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that, John?
Time of a crisis, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Proving himself in a time of crisis and that type of shit. But
what was that, John? Oh, Newt Gingrich said the same thing?
Yeah, he said that Cuomo, that the DNC's going to have to dump him. They don't want to, but he'll go out on a limb and make a prediction that somehow they'll do it, but I don't know how they're going to do it, he said. You know, it's going to be hard, but, and then Sean, you know, chimed in, it'll be something criminal or something, you know, but.
He may step down.
With super delegates and crazy shit that allows them to broker, is what they call it, the convention.
Broker the convention,
where, like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They got some weird, like, and of course nobody knows what it is, so they can make that shit up as they go, whatever. I mean, that's the, I mean, that's your party, you know. I mean, Democrat party.
Bernie won't be nominated if Joe can't do it, so that you're stuck with, you know, Cuomo, and then he's the blue collar guy, you know, that talks to, he gets red in the face until someone gives him a right hook, and he's kind of a turd, really. What is, you know, Comey's from freaking Flushing, and what the heck? My daughter lives in flats in Brooklyn at is it Bush Flat?
Bushwick. Yeah.
No, Bushwick. I'm sorry.
Okay, Bushwick. Yeah.
And but you know, that's right in the middle of the virus. But that's what she wants to do. You know, to be an anarchist. I guess you got to be all in. But the situation, it's so surreal that we can't get antibody testing. If I already
That would seem to be the way to go if people could test themselves in their home to see if they'd had it.
Yeah.
I saw today that one doctor was. Go ahead.
You know why? You know why they're motivated to do that, Steve? Is they don't want to reveal the death rate. The actual death rate being it's guesstimated between 3% and 1%. It would drop it down a hell of
it would.
10 million. If 10 million people test positive for it that don't have symptoms, asymptomatics need to be identified, and also it would also kind of give you a timeline or prove that it's already in existence. Now this thing came from camels, the last coronavirus, the one it's most akin to. And it came from animals, but it was a dromedary camel.
Yeah, I believe that was the last one, the Middle East respiratory system virus. The MERS came from the camels, and then I don't know where SARS came from, but it came from an animal. But I would say, you know, Francis Boyle would track back them to the work that they did at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in 2015 with those viruses, and several labs around the world, one of them most prominently in India, that analyzed the genetic structure of this virus, and it's like a little ball with all these pins sticking out of it, you know, these spikes are the spike proteins, and those proteins that stick out of this little ball are the way that it gets to your cells, okay? So, and these, they have, there's a, they're like a signature, you know, there's a different protein for all of these viruses, and they have this virus that they were testing, the one out of China, it had a spike protein from SARS, it had a spike protein from the Middle East, the MERS, and it had a spike protein from HIV. And there's no way that this HIV protein would get there naturally. It just, the odds are like one in quadrillions that would be able to occur the way it's described naturally. It had to have been done in a lab. And this thing is genetically engineered to attack Asians more than any other group, to attack men more than women, and to attack the A blood group. And the way that it attacks you, according to your race, is there's these receptors in your respiratory system called angiotensin-converting enzyme receptors, ACE receptors. That's one of the enzymes, one of the ways that blood pressure medicine treats you to treat high blood pressure, that interferes with that particular receptor in your cells, the ACE receptors. And the more ACE receptors that you have in your system, they're not only in your lungs, they also, you have these receptors down in your kidneys and in your digestive tract. Some of the people, like half of the people that get this, are presenting with, you know, the vomiting and diarrhea symptoms. They don't talk about that. But the Asians have more of those than any other race on earth. And so they're the ones that are getting hit the hardest with it. And so you go down the line and you can see who has the most receptors for that. The different races, there's a chart that shows them. And that has been showing the nuts. It almost goes almost one by one for the people who are getting killed by it the most. And ironically, the people in northern Persia there in Iran that are getting hit the hardest, they are on that list too. They have one of the highest rates. Africans come down, and then Europeans after that. And another thing that's happened with this thing is this drug that's the anti-malaria drug, the chloroquinolone, that people who take that drug already for malaria have not caught this. Over in Africa or you know, Indonesia, Malaysia, wherever they take that drug to fight malaria, they don't catch this. I mean, it seems to me too well designed to be just a mutation. It hits all of these little, checks off all of these little boxes for an attack that they would want to commit to make a bioweapon. It's diabolical, man. It's just like we're living in a science fiction movie, I have to say. I wake up every day feeling that way.
Can I ask you one quick question? You said about A blood type, and you said Asians. So are most Asians the A blood type?
That I don't know. I don't know if there's a correlation with the blood type. And Asians, the thing about the Asians was that they have a much higher percentage of the ACE receptors in their body and in their lungs. That was what made them more susceptible. I don't know how it works, how it breaks down with the blood type yet. These are just things that I've read, you know, and they seem to be dependable, this information so far. All those things, at least at this point, I believe. But, you know, it's hard to believe anything the media tells you.
I mean, is this CDC information?
Some of it is, yeah. The spike proteins came from several different labs that, you know.
Oh, and that was reported by the CDC even.
Oh, yeah. The CDC has come out with the... Yeah, they've come out with the genetic structure. You know, they published the structure of the virus and some other things. And then there's some labs around the world where you can find out what's, you know, the truth about it. But, you know, when it comes to the mainstream media, man, I can't trust anything they say, you know. It just, there's a guy in Hawaii, okay. The media and local media had reported that this urgent care center was overwhelmed, that they were swamped with people wanting to be tested for the coronavirus, and that they just couldn't keep up. And this guy went down there with his phone and his camera, and he went to he was going to take a picture of the crowd, and there was nobody there. He went in and asked people, well, where are these crowds that you say you can't handle? And the person that was over that urgent care center came out and started smacking him and attacking him, trying to get him not to take the video. And she was saying, well, but yesterday we, you know, it's like there's something fishy going on there. You know, that's not the only place in the country that I've heard things like that happening. So I just can't trust anything the media says. That's why I was asking out anybody out there who wants to give a report about the situation where you are, please give us a call. I've got a few more minutes, 855-492-6049. If you want to tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods, or if you know somebody with this virus, if you know somebody that's died from it, if you've got it, and I want to hear from somebody like that. I've been trying to, you know, data mine on Facebook, posting anybody that knows something, tell us, because we can't trust what the media says. I believe you're right. They're just pushing the communist takeover. It's Tony, right? It's Tony?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I saw that. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, man. That's what this is. It's a communist takeover. That's exactly what they want to do.
Conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
To live under executive order, which we're not supposed to be living like that. I know it's only been a little bit, but.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
I agree.
Please.
I agree with you. They have been conditioning us for years, ever since even before 9/11. But then after 9/11, it was, you know, they put metal detectors first in the airports years ago, back in the 70s, you know, when they were doing the skyjackings. And that was part of the motivation for that, was for people who sold the metal detectors. And then after 9/11, there was the Patriot Act, where, okay, you can be under surveillance at any time, and you don't have your Fourth Amendment right anymore,
right?
And you just got to get used to that. So they pushed that on us. And then when the underwear bomber had that little hoax happened, I think it was 2010 or 2011, right around there, and they said, oh, gosh, you know, the TSA has to feel you up every time you get on a plane now. They conditioned everybody with that stuff. It had nothing to do with flying safely. It had to do with conditioning the people.
It's called problem reaction solution.
Exactly.
Problem reaction solution, and your government's been doing it to you incrementally. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
okay, we know this is a 2019 virus. How do we know this isn't a good old fashioned animal to man virus? You know that.
Well, the only way I could answer that is by the genetic structure that they published, you know, that they have this virus has those three spike proteins, and that's just not present.
That was a theory on HIV, too, though, was contact with AIDS, and now they're saying that.
Yes.
I believe with corona. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I think it's genetically modified myself, but, you know, I can't really prove it.
Yeah. Boosting immuno, one guy came out said you need to boost your immuno with your diet, and it's a good news. And that got drowned out because the media didn't consider that. He better shut up about something, you know, that's pragmatic.
Yes.
To save us. That, you know, the glutathione thing and the Mark Hyman papers about glutathione saying nobody's ever been sick as long as they eat high glutathione compounded foods, like, you know, the dark greens, onions, and garlic, and high.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do. I've been doing everything I can to boost my immunity. I've been taking vitamin D, vitamin C,
vitamin C.
He had his own show for a while on PBS.
What was his name, John?
Dr. Mark Hyman, H-Y-M-A-N.
Hyman, Dr.
And,
Mark Hyman. I'll see if I can look him up.
Glutathione is G-L-U-T-A-M-I-N-E. Glutathione, or whatever. No, I can't spell it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's what the paper's about. Now, he speaks from experience, but the chelation is part of it. Any heavy metals in existence can be pulled out of your body, and they'll wreak havoc on your free radicals. And that's what he talks about in his paper. And there's been like 5,600 pages of medical reports saying that nobody with high glutathione has ever been found to have any autoimmune disease. And that's MS, and that's Crohn's, and it's all asthma, all allergies are autoimmune systems. Where your
immune that's good to know. And no wonder they would suppress him. I mean, that would hurt Big Pharma's bottom line, you know, if people could actually eat healthy and stay healthy.
These Frank foods coming out of these funny farms fed by fertilizer, FFF, you know, or whatever, the whole thing. You buy some local greens, they pull nutrients that build compounds. And then your immune system, but it gets stripped if you're eating, you know, like macaroni and cheese all the time, you know, stuff like that. So people are stripped of nutrient. Silly. And some of those vegetables grown on those big mega farms just don't have nutrients in the soil. This is used up soil with the, you know, I don't know what they put in there.
One good thing can come out of this. If anything good can come out of this, one would be that people will start gardening again. People start growing food. I've started a garden. I got some soil today, and I'm disabled. It's hard for me to do, but a couple of my friends have come around and helped some, and I haven't gardened now for about 6 or 7 years. I used to do it all the time, and yeah, I'm going to start that again. Did we just get another caller? Or did someone hang up?
Yeah. Hung up.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I want to. It's about time. It's about 10. Are you still with us, Richard?
Adios, amigos. I'm heading on myself.
Richard might have just turned on the recording, you know, and since he had me do the roundtable. You guys, you've been listening to the roundtable on revisionmedia.org. That's every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I'm Stephen Douglas Whitener. I've been hosting the roundtable tonight, and Mr. Richard Carey had some issues with the Facebook here recently. So, you know, you guys, if you pray, remember us in your prayers or whatever. We want to keep a full schedule going, and I think that Rich is going to try to have as full and as a schedule as he can from now on. But thanks for joining me, John. Tony, thank you for joining us, and I'll sign off for tonight, and y'all be good to each other.
Your kiss, Medusa's touch, turn to a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Wrap my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry for you, and a dagger's thrust with your